Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, action, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
A crackling fire. Welcome to Spark. I am your host, Ms. Melanie. And I'm currently not able to clean down the fire today. Yay. We'll have a little crackling fire in the background for a bit. There we go. Thanks so much for joining us on this segment of Spark. We are excited to bring you an amazing woman, her journey, and her latest book. I will be introducing her in just a moment, but before I do, I want to thank you again for investing your time here and ask that we take just a few seconds to focus on sending out some positive energy, thoughts, prayers, whatever works for you. For those people in the world who are struggling right now, whether it's with war, famine, poverty, illness, hunger, loneliness, loss, just sending those positive vibrations, prayers, thoughts, and energy out, and we'll pick this right back up in about 10 seconds. Thank you so much. And I'm excited now to welcome and share with you Karen Schumacher, who is an amazing woman who is the owner and CEO of Crescendo Leadership Development and the author of an amazing book called More Than Mindset, How to Live a More Positive and Energized Life. And I do want to let you know before I open Karen's line that in our discussion tonight, she will be sharing some very personal experiences, which include kidnapping and rape, and wanted to be upfront with those of you for whom that may be challenging. In the show notes, there are numbers, contact information for support if you yourself have been a victim of rape, abuse, or incest. So I am very excited to welcome Karen Schumacher. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Melanie. So good to be here.
It's been an adventure for us to actually do this interview, but I truly believe in right place, right time all the time, and that today is the day that we were meant to have this conversation and to share your message and your amazing book with the world. So let's start, Karen, with what is it that you want people to know about? Who is Karen Schumacher?
Who am I? Good question. I ask myself that sometimes too. I am a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a stepmother. I'm a daughter, a sister, a cousin. I'm a friend to some. I need to be a better friend to others. I'm a Christian, and I'm just me, right? I am an ordinary person trying to do extraordinary things in life.
Wow, that's a lot. And I think sometimes we forget all the different roles that we have when we meet people or they see us in just one context and not in as a full person going through all of life's experiences. And so keeping all of that in mind, you have had, like each of us, an interesting and amazing adventure to get you to where you are as a person, as a professional. And I wanted to spend some time sharing that journey with listeners. So let's start with the fact that you own your own company. Can you tell us a bit about that journey of discovering and stepping into your dream of owning your own business?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because It wasn't a dream that I had growing up to say that I wanted to be a business owner. My dream growing up was to be a teacher, to work with students and young people and just pour into them. And as I started to go through college, there we'll talk about some of the things that happened there, but when I was going through college, I was like, yeah, I really love teaching. And then along my journey of getting a job, I wasn't a teacher. I actually started off as a telemarketer. $5.25 or 25 cents an hour. It was the highest paying job in that city back in the early 90s. And then I became their first trainer for them. And that's where the journey really began. And it wasn't until as I started to work for some of these large companies, really getting to shape still young professionals right out of school or middle-aged professionals or even older professionals. And I was like, this is my calling. This is what I'm meant to be. And if I left a company, I always stayed true to my profession, which was in learning and development. But I changed industries because then about 10 years into it, I was like, one day I want to be a professional speaker and trainer, and I'm going to do it. So the best way to do it is get these this experience. However, my very last job, which I thought, this is it. This is a fairy tale company and job, and I got to build my department. I was hired to be the training manager, and I inherited no people, no processes, no programs. I got to build it from ground up. And almost 5 years into it, I thought I was living the dream until I got fired from that job. I got fired for somebody else's comments on an engagement survey about my boss, and she was looking for someone to pin them on. And so I was the person that got blamed for it when I will still tell you to this day, they weren't my comments. But you know what? Everything happens for a reason. And that is what started me getting into my own business of doing still what I love and what I'm passionate about and what I'm good at. And it also became, which I didn't know at the time, was going to be the foundation for me writing this book.
That's a great example of taking whatever hand is dealt, whatever happens, and being able to decide which approach we want to take to that, whether we want it to be a victim or if we want to choose something different. And that reminded me of a client that I had who was very frustrated because she too was let go from her job, and she said, I am so tired of telling people I got fired. And my comment to her, I love serendipity, because I don't know where this inspiration came from, but I told her, what if you called it something else? What if you said that I was released from my last job so that I'm available for the next best job opportunity? And she said, wow, that feels a whole lot better. And so that's what she did for the time in between our calls. And she said, oh gosh, Melanie, she said, my energy level is different. I'm excited about looking for a new position. I'm excited to share with people that this is a space I'm in, and, you know, to let me know if they hear of any openings that they think might be a good match for me. Because yeah, we can get really stuck in that, oh crap, it's just a crappy thing and it sucks. And yeah, at the time, absolutely it sucks because it's unexpected. It creates a whole lot of issues that we get to address and deal with that we would not have necessarily chosen, raised our hand and said, oh, me, pick me for this. However, sometimes whether it's the universe, the divine guidance, spirit, God, whatever you want to call that bigger energy than us, recognizes, or it's like you're not on the path that you could really be doing your best work, could be making your best difference. So a little nudge here or there. For a lot of us who've opened our own businesses, there's been a push of some kind. And yours was being let go from what you thought was that dream job that you were going to have for the rest of your career. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I agree with you. No, sorry.
no,
I was
going to
say, I absolutely love that, because that's what we talk about with mindset, right? It's we can be victims or victors, but mindset is all about what we tell ourselves is what we believe. And then if we believe that about ourselves, others are going to believe that about us. So if we want to say we're a victim of the circumstance and feel sorry for ourselves, well, we can. We have the right to have that pity party. But if we wallow in it and stay there, we'll never grow and we'll never be able to move forward.
Absolutely. We discussed earlier, you and I, about absolutely feel the feelings. Feel the anger and the grief for the loss and the frustration, and have the good cries, because that moves emotions through our bodies. And emotions are chemicals, and they will manifest in some way if we don't process through them and feel them, which is why coaching can be so helpful, which is why therapy is so helpful. They're two different things, just to be clear. And the outside perspective, though, can help us understand different ways to process those things. So when we have that good cry, it's having the cry and then giving ourselves a time limit, or I'm going to have a good cry and then I'm going to take a look at a resume, or I'm going to go for a walk and think about what my next step might be. Or it's when, you're right, when we get stuck and we wallow, and then everything comes through the lens of being a victim. And when we have a perspective mm-hmm. of being a victim, it's amazing how the RAS, the reticular activating system in our brain, brings to our awareness all of the confirming information from the outside world that we are a victim. And the flip side is also true, that when we choose a perspective of confidence, motivation, taking advantage of opportunities, the perspective of opportunity also programs the RAS to bring to our awareness opportunities, good things, positive things. And it really does work that way. I was on an interview earlier today and shared about the story of if you stub your toe in the morning, do you say, oh, great, I stubbed my toe, my day's going to go downhill from here? And then your RAS brings to your awareness all the crap that's going on around you during the day. It reinforces what you programmed it to see. And another person stubs their toe and says, great, I stubbed my toe. This is the worst thing that's going to happen to me today. It's going to be a great day. And so now that reticular activating system, like radar, brings to your awareness all those opportunities for good, positive, grateful experiences throughout the day. And so if that's ever happened to you, never tried it, try to flip that and choose the perspective or choose the lenses you wish to look at your day, your experiences through, which it was funny because Karen, as I was reading this book, Karen, it was like, oh, my gosh, we could have had this conversation. You and I resonate on so many things. And so I enjoyed reading the book so much. And so from that, first of all, it's understanding that even though it may have felt up to now that life has been happening to you or to us, we can change that perspective and look at what if we looked at life happening for us, happening with us. That's, both of those are different than happening to us. And so now we've talked about that book. So very excited. Before we get into more of the content of the book, which is the full title is More Than Mindset, How to Live a More Positive and Energized Life. So what motivated you to get those ideas in the book from thoughts in your head onto paper and into that actual book?
Oh, there's a couple different things that really happened. One, I was asked to speak in about 2009 timeframe to a group of women that belonged to like an association. And I said, okay, well, what do you want me to speak about? And they're like, look, these women do not have much self-esteem. They don't see that they add value and they're very valuable. And we just need something to change their mindset. So I created a talk at that moment and gave it that night, and it wasn't just for them. I found that it was for me. I was like, wow, I needed to hear myself say all of these things and believe these things. And then from there, I kept speaking about it, and then I turned it into a workshop, and then I turned it into a second workshop for leaders and how to be resilient as they're leading people. And then somebody said, you should just make this into a book. And I was like, what? The first book I'm going to write is called, is something completely different, which I haven't written. And I was like, well, we'll see. And then COVID hit, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to take all of this, and I'm going to just make it into a book, and that's what I did. The second big thing and the reason why I wrote it and why I started to give those talks was because people would come up to me and say, you're just so happy. You're just so positive. You're just so nice. And I'm like, okay, well, thank you. And by the way, my name's Karen, but that doesn't make me one, so I'm glad you think I'm happy and positive. And then they would go on to say, but you have no idea what I've been through. And I would stop and I would listen to their stories. And some of them had tragic stories or sad stories or just unbelievable things that they'd been through. And then I'd say, but you have no idea what I've been through. And they said, well, it couldn't be half as bad as what I was, otherwise you would understand why I am the way I am. And that's then when I tell my story. So when I had said earlier about going to school to be a teacher, I never got to finish college at that time. I had to leave school because I had had a situation where I was dating a gentleman, and we were good friends, and we were best friends, and we'd been dating for about 4 or 5 years. And somebody else I had met at school, I wanted to befriend him. He was going through some troubled things, and so I would help him by give him rides to see his family around town or whatever it was. But somewhere along that line, that friendship got blurred on his part, not mine. And he became very possessive of me, started stalking me, and I eventually told him we could no longer be friends. And then about 2 months later is when he kidnapped me by gunpoint from the school and raped me. I was missing for a few days, and I didn't think I'd ever see my family again, didn't think I'd survive it, but I did. I was able to get away, and here I am today, and I've obviously worked past it, but that whole time that I was there, it was almost that victim thinking, what did I do? How did I get here? This is my fault. And then going to a counseling afterwards, which you're right, counseling therapy is a lot different.
Oh, than Karen, your line is getting muffled, or that we
can
just
you hear
lost
me now?
Part of that. Yes.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, there it goes, muffled like again. That? I don't know. This is really strange.
How about if I speak like this? Can you hear me now?
And sometimes things happen on phone lines.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Well, I can hear you say, can you hear me? But I knew you were talking because we were getting kind of that muffled sound, but couldn't make up what you were saying before that. But we can start again.
Okay. Do you remember where you started to get the muffle?
Yes, it was when you were talking about you didn't think you would survive, but you did get away, and here you are today. That's where it started getting muffled.
Thank you for that, by the way. And I did get away, but at that time when I was going through it, I would think, what did I do to get here? That victim mentality snuck in right there. This is my fault. I allowed this to happen. And then going through therapy, going through counseling, which you are correct, that's way different than coaching, was very needed because the amount of shame and guilt afterwards, because at that time in my life, I had still been a virgin. And I just felt unclean. I felt unworthy for people. And it took a while to work through all of that. So when people say you're so positive, you're so happy, it doesn't mean I've not been through hard things. It means I choose to let those things be part of who I am, but not define who I am. I can be bitter or I can be better.
Yes. And that is an important distinction. It's part of who you are. And it does not define who you are.
Yep. I will say it made me stronger. It allowed me to have experiences where now when I talk to women or teenage girls that have been through something similar, I can show full empathy because I've been there. I understand. And it's a lot different than trying to show empathy from a part where you might feel like it, but like you might try to relate to them, but this is full blown. I'm in it with them. I get it. So.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And unfortunately, unfortunately more women than talk about have been either molested, sexually abused, or raped.
Oh, so many. So many of us keep it a secret because of that shame, because of the guilt, because of that victim. And I, you know, there is freedom in being able to talk about it. I almost was more ashamed of telling people I was, as I got older, that I was fired from a job. I didn't actually talk about my rape, and that's why. Maybe because I had dealt with it, I had gone to counseling, I had therapy, I had worked past it. I didn't tell anybody my story, but it wasn't until when I got fired, and I was like, man, I don't like telling people I got fired, but what else am I not really sharing with others that might help them? And that's when I started to really talk about this more openly.
And you did include it in the book.
I did, yeah. So it's out there now. I can't take it back.
Yeah.
It is out there for other people to read and to understand that we all have a story. But, you know, we shouldn't have a contest to see who has the worst or who has the best of the worst stories. We should just really listen to each other, be there for each other, and say, yeah, but look at you now, and support each other and help each other move forward.
Yes, and the vulnerability, which Brené Brown talks about, how powerful vulnerability is, when we have the courage to be vulnerable, and not everyone's going to appreciate that vulnerability or understand it, and knowing when and how we choose to share that with people, because yeah, it can be a scary situation. And when we take that step, which, what was your decision-making process around including it in the book?
I think mostly just to equalize myself with so many others that are out there, that there's so many of us that have been through hard things. It doesn't have to be rape, right? It's other things too. And to show that because I choose to be happier, because I choose to be positive, doesn't mean I haven't been through hard things. It means that I had those experiences, and every day I just try to move forward, and I want others to see that they can do it. If I can do it, you can do it, because we're better together when we have others that we can rely on and see what they've been through and go, wow, okay, I can do this. If that person did this, I can do this. And I think that's the message I really want others to know. It doesn't matter, again, if it's a rape, it could also be being fired. It could also be being in a divorce or domestic abuse or so many different circumstances. It could be you lost your house because of a storm or a fire or a child, or there's so much sadness. And if we allow that sadness to just continue to creep in, then we're always just going to be sad.
Yes. And being able to recognize, when we compare ourselves to people, or we look at, like you said, people say, you're always so happy and you're always so positive. And I had a boss once, because I also hear those same things. And she said that there was one of the senior vice presidents in the company who just had a hard time relating to me, because she was cynical, sarcastic. And she said, you know, maybe you're just two steps too far out for her to connect where you're at. I said, wow, I'd never thought about that. And so being able to, my natural response is a positive one, is to help people see that there are other choices. And so with her, it took a different approach. And that taught me about adding that vulnerability the being positive or choosing a positive perspective is a moment-to-moment choice. That I am a pessimist by birth. My first reaction to things is what's going to go wrong, what are the problems, what I have to look out for. And I have learned over time to shorten the amount of time I spend there because there's value there about planning and preparing. It's just when we spend too much time there, then we miss the positives and the opportunities. And so the strategies that I share in my work are those moment-to-moment choices of how do I shift my perspective? How do I shift my language? How do I change that voice in my head from a critic to a coach? And how do I change my emotional state when I'm getting emotionally hijacked? What's a strategy for that? So giving people the tools and techniques and hacks is the current vernacular word, something that's quick and simple, not always easy, but quick and simple, and with practice becomes easy, ways to have that shift. And I love the activities that you have in the book, and the love acronyms because I train people about how to have their magnificent memory to retain it or regain it. And acronyms is one of the easy ways to recall information. And in the book, you use the acronym FREE. So I want to spend a little bit of time in our interview talking about those four focus areas in the book that you use the acronym FREE for. So this next section, I'm just going to talk a lot less and let you share what you'd like to about those four focus areas.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, when the title is More Than Your Mindset, How to Live a More Positive and Energized Life, to do that, you have to set yourself free from negativity. So the FREE stands for how do you formulate your thoughts, how do you reinvent you, how do you engage with others, and how do you energize yourself throughout the day. So formulating your thoughts. This area really makes you stop and think, are you looking at all of the negative or are you looking for the positive? And don't get me wrong, there are times to outweigh both and find the opposite sometimes. But my big saying that's in the book is what you look for is what you'll find. And I think the best way to explain that is with a friend of mine. It was an employee that I was coaching. We were paired up to be mentor and mentee at my job. And she would meet with me almost weekly. We had a set date and time. And one day, without announcing herself, she just ran right into my office, slammed the door, and said, "You are not going to believe this. My new boss is out to get me. She's trying to fire me. She's trying to make me look bad. I mean, it's not my responsibility to make her look good." And I was like, "What is happening?" And we sat and we talked about it. And for the next couple weeks, all she did when she came to her mentorship with me was to complain about her boss, to the point where if she called me on the phone and I saw her name, I didn't want to answer because she was taking a big withdrawal from my bank account and taking my energy and my motivation throughout the day. So I thought, we've got to do something different. So as you mentioned, exercises. So what I had her do was I told her I wanted her to focus on five positive things that I wanted her to look for her with her boss for the next week and collect that evidence. And she's like, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Look, we are all natural-born CSI investigators. We make a theory about a person or a situation in our mind, and then we look for the evidence to prove ourselves right. In your case, you've made the statement and the theory that your boss is out to get you, so you are only looking for that evidence to prove that theory correct. So look for the opposite. Find five positive things that she does." Well, she didn't think she would, but to her surprise and mine, she did. And we did that same exercise for 3 weeks in a row, and then her mindset started to change. How she formulated her thoughts around her manager changed. And then I prepped her for a conversation and had her go speak to her manager. And this time I waited eagerly. And when she came back, she said, "You're not going to believe this. She was never out to get me. She wasn't trying to fire me. She sees potential in me. She was trying to challenge me and grow me." I made a side note to go coach that manager later on how to do that differently. But it changed the way she looked at things. And we need to formulate our thoughts throughout the day on, are we choosing to see the best in each other or the worst in each other? And if we don't like someone or we have conflict, sometimes there's the healthy conflict and sometimes the unhealthy conflict. We just got to understand why. So that whole section talks about and challenges people to think about situations or people that they could increase and make a better relationship with or look at differently and see if there's a more positive outcome. The second part is reinvent you. And for the record, I want to just say that I am happy and positive, but not all of the time. I mean, there are my moments where I get frustrated or upset or angry or sad or whatever it is. I just choose to try not to stay there for too long. And I'm also not mad that they use the name Karen as this whole meme about, you know, this middle-aged woman who's always asking for the manager and causing a stink, because it's really forced me to have to stop and think, how are my behaviors? How do others view me and see me? And that's what this reinventing you focuses on. How do people manage their emotions, manage their time, manage their thinking, manage their words? And it gives you some exercises to work through all of that. The next one is E for engaging with others. This one is, how do we not just engage with others? Are there things that we say or do that motivate or demotivate other people? I mean, we have to start by understanding, what are the things that motivate us or demotivate us? What are the things that we need to be able to build trust or detract from that trust and that bank account with others, that emotional bank account? And so this really forces people to think about the relationships and how to build trust, and taking the first two sections, how they formulate their thoughts and how their image is, their brand, and that using that for how they engage. And then the last D is about energizing throughout the day, because we wake up already tired, and that's a problem. And a lot of people look to get started by having a cup of coffee. And don't get me wrong, I love my coffee. I actually haven't had coffee for 2 weeks now. But we look to get ourselves started by putting gas that's going to die out, whether it's an energy drink or coffee or whatever that caffeinated thing is. We need to look to find other ways to sustain, to get energy going and flowing throughout the day. And a lot of it comes from how we think. We also need to take time for ourselves to breathe. And yes, deep breathing, I believe in it, but also breathing can also mean walking away from a situation and just go take a breath or a walk. It could be that attitude of gratitude, being grateful for something, so when something doesn't go right, I immediately say, okay, that stinks, and that went wrong. But what are two positive things that could come from this? And I try to rechange and refocus my thoughts. So using that acronym, and I give a bunch of ideas and techniques in there for how to do that throughout the day. That's where the free came from. That was the whole basis.
So these are four really good areas in which to manage mindset and energy and motivation. It's so much more, you're right, than mindset. The first part, though, is recognizing that we do have a choice, that things are not just happening to us. Because I know someone who is in that victim space, that's where she is comfortable, and challenging it has not had an impact, or at least from me and others with her. So it's loving her where she is, and still encouraging her and offering her other opportunities, and recognizing that until someone is ready to recognize that a change is possible, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, for someone else outside of them to offer the tools, the support for the change. I mean, we are there. Your book is there. Resources are there. Hotlines are there. So continuing to offer those things and remembering that people are at different places in their lives with their ability to accept that a change is possible. And I say that just because sometimes we love someone and we just get so frustrated or angry with them because they just can't see what we see. And life could be so much better for them if they could see what we see or do what we do. And at the end of the day, everybody has their own life experience, their own context. And again, we can offer resources and support and then recognize that they are the ones who need to make the change. And everyone will do that on their own timeline. So you can continue to make your choices, to continue to model those choices for people, which is what, Karen, you were doing in your workshops and in your conversations and then in the book. And including that, yes, I'm positive most of the time. I often share, too, that when I train exercises that, you know, I do use this most of the time. And being human, I get taken by sudden emotional hijacks. And I will find myself saying things and I sit back going, oh, my gosh, that is less effective than it could be. What am I doing? And I have to step outside of that. So being human, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to learn lessons. And it's a journey. So finding those support groups, those people, those books, those resources that can help move us along this journey in a direction that we may find better for ourselves. And that's what Spark is about. And that's what Karen's work and Karen's book is about, is being able to support people on that journey to live a more positive and energized life. So we've got time, Karen. I'm going to give the number for the guests, so for people to call if they have questions. And then I want to talk a little bit more about some specific exercises that you can share from the book. The number to call if you have questions for Karen is 347-215-8390. And I'll announce your number by your area code. So if you're listening live, feel free to give us a call and share a question. Or if you've read the book and want to talk about something you got from the book, that would be great as well. That number again is 347-215-8390. So Karen, we talked a little bit about the formulate your thoughts. Is there a particular exercise, another exercise, other than looking for five positive things a day about someone that you have been looking at through a negative lens or a negative perspective?
Yes. So in each of the chapters, there's a personal activity where they get to journal in the book. So we read something and then they have an opportunity to turn their learning into action and allow themselves to kind of go through this. So the whole book is set up that way. There is one where in chapter 3, engaging with others, where I have them just decide, people were created to be with other people. We need each other. So if you want to engage with others more effectively, you need to see you from their point of view. So I have them think about their boss or teacher or professor if they're in school. Would they say I'm easy or difficult to get along with most of the time, and why would they say this? So it's collecting that evidence from a different perspective. We can look at things from our stripe on the beach ball, but this allows them to maybe stop and think about, how would that person view me? So it goes from boss or professor to coworkers or classmates to internal or external customers to friends and to family. And I've had so many people say, what an insight for me to stop and think about it from all of those different perspectives. It's like doing a 360 on yourself by yourself. And some people have taken and said, I went and sat down with some of these individuals and asked them, like, here's what I think, but what is the reality? And got so many really good insights to take away and implement from doing that.
And it's interesting that when you were talking about that, I have, my son is 21, and we've had conversations, and we've always had a good communication in our relationship. And he's not been one to voluntarily come in and chat up for 20 minutes. So what I've said, what I've had is a fishing expedition. So I will have to ask him questions and questions and questions. And sometimes our personality styles, I tend to be a more extroverted style. He tends to be more introverted style. And so he'll sometimes just say, just give me half an hour of alone time and then I'll come talk to you. Or when I'm concerned, when he's driving in the middle of winter and he's got a 45-mile drive, and you know, he's been very good about always letting me know when he's on his way home on the road, because he knows I worry, and it's not because I don't trust him. We had to have this conversation. And so sometimes I just have to bite my tongue and not ask as many questions, because he's 21, he's an adult, yes, and he's still my son. So we're in that part of our relationship back and forth for, you know, managing that communication and the respect and knowing where the questions are coming from. So I think that all came to mind immediately when you said looking at relationships and how other people perceive you. And that can be, having a conversation about that is very, very powerful, is what I would add to that. Rather than assuming people understand why you are asking as many questions or why you want people to do certain things. Because we sometimes get in such a big hurry, we leave out the why. And the brain loves to know why. So just, you know, the really quick why makes a huge difference. So that was my two cents. It works in kin families too.
I love that. And Simon Sinek is the one that does Start With Your Why. And I talk about that with so many people because it's true. I have a client who was upset with his direct reports. And I was like, well, tell me more about this. And so he told me, and I said, okay, well, do they know that? Well, they don't need to know that. I said, well, why not? Why don't they need to know? And if we don't explain the why we're asking somebody to do something, it's a lot harder to get them to go along with us. So I often tell people, if you want to be liked, you've got to be likable.
That is very true.
If you want to be respected, you've got to be respectful. And if you want people to go along with you, they've got to be able to get along with you. So.
Yes, and to feel safe asking questions. I think that's something else that, you know, when we can create an environment in our relationships where when people ask questions, how we respond encourages or discourages future questions, you know, and especially
exactly.
When either we're younger or our employers are new and they're still learning. You may have to tell them something 5 or 6 times or remind them where to find the information and then if you think it's been too long, then it's a matter of, okay, what can we do differently to help you remember or to help you understand? And maybe it's the directions we're giving. Maybe it's they need a different way to access the information or to communicate. I tell people texting is the best way to reach me because I get way too many emails and I miss them. And so it isn't personal if you don't hear from me. It just means that if you don't get it via email, call me on the phone or text me, which it is what it is. It's a fact in my life. Could I change it? Of course I could. Would it take a ton more energy? Yes. So I'm guarding my energy for other things. And so it's just communicating it that way versus, oh, she's obviously ignoring me because I've sent her 3 emails. Well, no, that's not obvious. So rather than writing the catastrophic story in our mind about all the terrible, horrible reasons things could be happening, we could also write the flip side of that. What might be going on in someone else's life that's causing a lack of communication? Because it isn't always about us.
Yeah, absolutely. Not always about us. And, you know, a couple of things that you said even earlier, when we want somebody else to change, we can want stuff for other people so much so that we sometimes want it more than they want it for themselves. And so being
yes.
patient and just being kind and being loving and being supportive without being pushy is so critical. Because in that case, we're still making it about us and not them. So you're right. Sometimes
right.
we have to get out of our own way or get out of their way in order for them to grow.
Yes, absolutely. So what have you found that has helped you in terms of, let's talk particularly about energy, because one of the things that I run across, especially in my work with superwomen, and superwomen I define as amazing women doing so much for so many and juggling the balls and bouncing a few here and there and getting to the end of the day and going, oh, wait, I needed a haircut 2 weeks ago. Or, oh, wait, it's been 5 years since my last physical. What? that we put ourselves at the bottom of our priority list if we're on it at all. And so as I work with these amazing women to help them get their brains on board for more success and joy in life so that they can be on their priority list with everyone else and just be as important as everyone else, that energy is a topic that comes up often. So what are some tips that you find for yourself help you stay energized through the day?
Before I answer that, when you were describing that, it reminded me of one time I was on an airplane, and it was so early in the morning, like a 5 a.m. or whatever flight, and so I had fallen asleep, and I just happened to be in the right spot next to the flight attendant as they were getting ready to do their demonstration, and I woke up as she had put the little mask thing over my head and let it drop down, you know, as the demo. And so I grabbed it and said, put it on. And I put it on my face right away. And she said, are you doing this demo or am I? And it made me stop and think at that moment, you know, they always say, put the mask on somebody else before you can, put the mask on yourself before you can help somebody else. And it was a big eye opener because then that same trip, I realized what you were talking about. I hadn't had a physical in a couple years, and I hadn't done some of the things that I need to, and I can't be my very best self serving my family, friends, and customers if I am not taking care of me. And that does include energy. And so the things that work best for me, I'm not a great planner for things. I'm very much an expressive, but having had to learn how to definitely organize, which allowed me, freed up some time for me to be more efficient later. And that has just increased energy. That whole gratitude, attitude of gratitude and the gratitude journaling has been really big for me. But I try to challenge myself every month. I try to, like in January, I start off with finding one thing I was grateful for each day. And for the whole month of January, finding 31 different things, not repeating it. Then in February, I do two things every day, also no repeats for the whole month. And all the way down, so by the time I get to December, it's 12 things every day and no repeats for the whole month. And that just changes my energy, my mindset, my take on the day, take on people. Exercising, walking, listening to music. I like to spend some time in the morning doing my devotions and prayers. So many different things. And it, for me, what I can't tell you there's like a certain recipe that I have to do this thing every day. It also depends on the situation and the circumstance I'm in. So.
Well, thank you, because there's so much in there, so many ideas of things. And that what you said at the end is, yeah, there's not one recipe. Some things are rituals, like your morning prayers and devotions, I'm guessing, are probably pretty consistent. The other pieces of, as your energy waxes and wanes throughout the day, we've got those ups and downs of highs and lows, and nutrition and hydration have an impact in our energy level. Movement does as well. So thinking about as we're getting tired, what on that list are we missing? Is it water? Is it food? Is it movement?
Mm-hmm.
And good nutrition makes a difference in our brain's ability to focus and pay attention. And again, that's not something that is normally taught to people either. And so, you know, grabbing some starchy snacks out of a vending machine, while you may get calories, doesn't constitute the nutrition your brain needs to stay alert. So getting protein and eating protein first at meals releases the building blocks for the proteins in your brain, the dopamine that you need to pay attention. And whenever I speak at conferences before, in the morning, before lunch, I always add that. So if you want to be alert for the afternoon, take a few bites of protein before you eat anything else. Because if you eat the carbs first, they break down a whole lot faster and will get to your brain faster and produce that serotonin that, it makes you tired. And so, yeah, just that little bit of a few bites of protein first makes the difference. So when we can be open to learning those things and being aware for ourselves, just to monitor yourself, when do you tend to be tired during the day? Is there a pattern to that? And I know for me, morning is not my best think time, creative time. So I will do things in the morning that are more routine, that involve less focus. And because I also own my own business, I can start my business day at 10 a.m., which works a whole lot better for me than starting my work day at 8. And I can do my best creative work, honestly, at about 1 to 3 a.m. And so I have what a colleague in a class that I'm in refers to as second sleep, because I sleep in two different cycles. I take a nap, which is also, if you have the ability to put that 20 minute in the day, in the middle of the day somewhere, really gives you a boost for alertness. Not everybody has that ability. So figuring out what works for you and really thinking about managing your energy is something that hasn't been as big a focus, I don't think, historically, as it's become in the last few years, because we are trying to do so much with less. And it really does deplete our energy. So I was excited to see that you included that part of your four-part focus in the book.
Yeah, and I have like 20 different tips in there specifically. In fact, I have those tips done in a PDF if anybody wants them on my website too. They could just download those specific things. So it's a one-pager.
Ooh, you know I'm going there as soon as we get off this call. And Karen's website is in the show notes. It's crescendold.com. And then if you have specific questions, you can email Karen. And her email address is there as well. It's karen@crescendold.com. And so as we're approaching our last 5 minutes, Karen, oh my gosh, time flies.
I know, right?
Yeah. What's next for you?
What is next for me? So this year, I've been conducting a lot of vision board workshops this year, more so than any other year. It's so popular right now. And I did my own vision board, and the next is to do a TEDx talk. So I have been working with a coach. It's ready to go. I have an idea where it's spreading. I just need someone to say yes. So that's what's next as far as that. And I'm doing more of the workshops on my book and offering those for individuals and companies or teams or families even out there.
Awesome. So if you have heard anything from Karen about this model, about the focus, the link to get her book from Amazon is also in the show notes. And reach out to her if something that you think would be of value to your organization, to yourself, or to your family, and learn more about how you can work with Karen. The love getting that energy tip list, freebie, thank you so much for sharing that. That's on your website. And so, Karen, I am just so excited to be able to share you and share your book, because the more ways that people can learn to discover how to get the most from their brain and mind to live their best life in with more success and joy, the better for everybody. We all win. So thank you so, so much for writing the book, for sharing your experience, for bringing what only you can bring into the world. I am so grateful that you took the time to spend with me and my listeners. And so as we are closing, I always give my guests two final questions. One, is there a question you thought I would ask you but didn't?
No, there is not.
I think we
covered a lot tonight, yes.
Yes, we did. And then my final question is, what are our three important ideas you want listeners to take away from our interview?
You know, I had a different answer. I don't even remotely remember what it is before I started this. I was thinking about that, but it kind of changed. I think there's two things. One, if you're not willing to learn, no one can help you. If you are determined to learn, no one can stop you. I don't know who wrote that, but I read that earlier, and it's really kind of resonated with me throughout the day, but even in this conversation we were just talking about learning. I think the other big thing is you are more than your circumstances. You don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor over them. And always remember, you are smarter and stronger, you are stronger and smarter today than you were yesterday. So just keep growing. And remember, you are more than your mindset.
Yes, totally. Karen, again, thank you so much. Those are great takeaways and great resources that you are putting out into the world. And so thanks to you and thanks to my listeners for being here. We invite you to take one action on something you learned or relearned in your time spent with Karen and with me today that could be the spark to ignite a positive change in your life. And remember that you can choose to create an amazing day as you continue to make a positive difference in the lives you touch, and you do, as only you can. Until next time, be safe. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.